Section 2, A School for Bible Study. Search the Scriptures. No man, woman, or youth can attain to Christian perfection and neglect the study of the Word of God. By carefully and closely searching His Word, we shall obey the injunction of Christ. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This search enables the student to observe closely the divine model, for they testify of Christ. The pattern must be inspected often and closely in order to imitate it. As one becomes acquainted with the history of the Redeemer, he discovers in himself defects of character. His unlikeness to Christ is so great that he sees he cannot be a follower without a great change in his life. Still he studies with a desire to be like his great exemplar. He catches the looks, the spirit of his beloved Master. By beholding, he becomes changed, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Word of God spoken to the heart has an animating power, and those who will frame any excuse for neglecting to become acquainted with it will neglect the claims of God in many respects. The character will be deformed, the words and acts a reproach to the truth. The Apostle tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. One of the prophets of God exclaims, "While I was musing, the fire burned." If Christians would earnestly search the Scriptures, more hearts would burn with the vivid truths therein revealed. Their hopes would brighten with the precious promises strewn like pearls all through the sacred writings. In contemplating the history of the patriarchs, the prophets, the men who loved and feared God and walked with Him, hearts will glow with the spirit which animated these worthies. As the mind dwells upon the virtue and piety of holy men of old, the spirit which inspired them will kindle a flame of love and holy fervor in the hearts of those who would be like them in character. Neglect not the Sabbath school lesson. The student of the Sabbath school should feel as thoroughly an interest to become intelligent in the knowledge of the Scriptures as to excel in the study of the sciences. If either is neglected, it should be the lessons of the 6 days. The injunction of our Savior should be religiously regarded by every man, woman, and child who professes His name. Teachers in the Sabbath school have a missionary field given them to teach the Scriptures, not parrot-like to repeat over that which they have taken no pains to understand. They are they which testify of me, the Redeemer, Him in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. If teachers are not imbued with the spirit of truth and care not for the knowledge of what is revealed in the Word of God, how can they present the truth in an attractive light to those under their charge? The prayer of Christ for His disciples was, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." If we are to be sanctified through a knowledge of truth found in the Word of God, we must have an intelligent knowledge of His will therein revealed. We must search the Scriptures, not merely rush through a chapter and repeat it, taking no pains to understand it, but we must dig for the jewel of truth which will enrich the mind and fortify the soul against the wiles and temptations of the arch-deceiver. Trifling excuses for neglect. Parents plead trifling excuses for not interesting themselves in the lessons with their children, and they fail to become conversant with the Scriptures. Fathers as well as mothers excuse themselves from disciplining their own minds. They do not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but exalt the temporal above the spiritual and eternal. This forgetfulness of God and neglect of His Word is the example they give their children, which molds their minds after the worldly standard and not after the exalted standard erected by Christ. Some fathers will while away hours in their own amusement, in conversation upon worldly things, and put God out of their thoughts and hearts. How much more profitable to be faithful disciples of Christ engaged in searching the Scriptures that they may be thoroughly furnished to all good works and be able to give an intelligent explanation of the word given of God to guide their footsteps to the eternal shores. Mothers are heard to deplore that they have no time to teach their children, no time to instruct them in the Word of God. But these same mothers find time for outward adorning, time to ornament with tucks and ruffles and needless stitching. Needless trimming is seen upon their own dresses and their children's. The inward adorning of the mind and the culture of the soul are neglected as though inferior to the adorning of the apparel. The minds of mothers and children are starved in order to follow custom and fashion. All the family to unite in Bible study. Fathers and mothers, we entreat you to take up your long-neglected duties. Search the Scriptures yourselves. Assist your children in the study of the sacred Word. Make diligent work because of past neglect. Do not send the children away by themselves to study the Bible, but read it with them. Teach them in a simple manner what you know, and keep in the school of Christ as diligent students yourselves. Be determined that this work shall not be neglected. Mothers, dress yourselves and your children in modest apparel, clean and neat, but without needless adornment. When you learn to do this, to dress with conscientious plainness, then you will have no excuse for being novices in the Scriptures. Follow Christ's injunction. Search the Scriptures. Then you will advance in spiritual strength yourselves and be able to instruct your children so that they need not come to the Sabbath school untaught. Many of the youth say, I have no time to study my lesson. But what are they doing? Some are crowding in every moment to earn a few cents more when this time pressed into work, if given to the study of the Bible, would, if they practiced its lessons, save them more than the amount gained by overwork. It would save much that is expended in needless ornaments and preserve vigor of mind to understand the mystery of godliness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but these very youth who profess to be Christians gratify the desires of the carnal heart in following their own inclinations, and God-given probationary time granted them to become acquainted with the precious truths of the Bible is devoted to the reading of fictitious tales. This habit, once formed, is difficult to overcome, but it can be done. It must be done by all who are candidates for the heavenly world. That mind is ruined which is allowed to be absorbed in story reading. The imagination becomes diseased, sentimentalism takes possession of the mind, and there is a vague unrest, a strange appetite for unwholesome mental food which is constantly unbalancing the mind. Thousands are today in the insane asylum whose minds became unbalanced by novel reading, which results in air castle building and lovesick sentimentalism. The Bible is the book of books. It will give you life and health. It is a soother of the nerves and imparts solidity of mind and firm principle. Digging for deeper gems of truth. The student of the Sabbath school should be in earnest, should dig deep and search with the greatest care for the precious gems of truth contained in the weekly lessons. The privileges and opportunities which they now have of becoming intelligent in regard to the Scriptures should not be neglected. God would have those who profess to be His followers thoroughly furnished with proof of the doctrines of His Word. When and where can this be better obtained than in youth at the Sabbath school? Parents should in no case treat this matter indifferently. Review and Herald, November 28, 1878. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Search the Scriptures was the injunction of the Master. Many have lost much because they have neglected this duty. When we search the Word of God, angels are by our side, reflecting bright beams of light upon its sacred pages. The Scriptures appeal to man as having power to choose between right and wrong. They speak to him in warning, in reproof, in entreaty, and encouragement. The mind must be exercised on the solemn truths of God's Word, or it will grow weak. We have the truth brought out in publications, but it is not enough to rely upon other men's thoughts. We must examine for ourselves and learn the reasons of our faith by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Take the Bible and on your knees plead with God to enlighten your mind. If we would study the Bible diligently and prayerfully every day, we should every day see some beautiful truth in a new, clear, and forceful light. Written for the common people, every child of God should be intelligent in the Scriptures, enabled by tracing the fulfillment of prophecy to show our position in this world's history. The Bible was written for the common people as well as for scholars, and is within the comprehension of all. The great truths which underlie man's duty to his fellow man and to his Maker are clearly revealed, and those who really want the truth need make no mistake. The way is not left in uncertainty, as though we were standing where four roads meet, not knowing which one to take. The truth is our guide. It is to us like a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The main contradictory opinions in regard to what the Bible teaches do not arise from any obscurity in the book itself, but from blindness and prejudice on the part of interpreters. Men ignore the plain statements of the Bible to follow their own perverted reason. Priding themselves on their intellectual attainments, they overlook the simplicity of truth. They forsake the fountain of living waters to drink of the poisonous stream of error. Substitute Bible for fiction. Both old and young neglect the Bible. They do not make it their study, the rule of their life. Especially are the young guilty of this neglect. Most of them find time to read other books, but the book that points out the way to eternal life is not daily studied. Idle stories are attentively read while the Bible is neglected. This book is our guide to a higher, holier life. The youth would pronounce it the most interesting book they ever read had not their imagination been perverted by the reading of fictitious stories. The spirit of investigation essential. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There is yet much precious truth to be revealed to the people in this time of peril and darkness, but it is Satan's determined purpose to prevent the light of truth from shining into the hearts of men. If we would have the light that has been provided for us, we should show our desire for it by diligently searching the Word of God. Precious truths that have long been in obscurity are to be revealed in a light that will make manifest their sacred worth. For God will glorify His Word that it may appear in a light in which we have never before beheld it. But those who profess to love the truth must put to the stretch their powers that they may comprehend the deep things of the Word, that God may be glorified and His people may be blessed and enlightened. With humble hearts, subdued by the grace of God, you should come to the task of searching the Scriptures, prepared to accept every ray of divine light and to walk in the way of holiness. In the attitude of a learner, in searching the Scriptures, you are not to endeavor to interpret their utterances so as to agree with your preconceived ideas, but come as a learner to understand the foundation principles of the faith of Christ. With eager interest, with fervent prayer, come to the Word of God that you may know what is truth, manifesting the same spirit as did Nathanael when he earnestly besought the Lord that he might know the truth. Light will come to every earnest seeker for truth as it came to Nathanael. Jesus saw him as he bowed in prayer under the fig tree, and while he was still petitioning for light, the messenger came to call him and to lead him to the source of all light. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Prejudice and unbelief sprang up in the heart of Nathanael, but Philip did not try to combat it. He said, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. How easily was Nathanael convinced, and with what pleasure Jesus looked upon his sincere, guileless faith. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God never honors unbelief and questioning and doubt. When he speaks, his word is to be recognized and carried out in the daily actions. And if the heart of man is in living connection with God, the voice that cometh from above will be recognized. Controversy to be avoided. While there is need of thorough investigation of the Word of God, that precious truth may be discovered and brought to light, we should be guarded that the spirit of controversy does not control in our discussions of the Sabbath school lessons. In bringing out points upon which there may be a difference of opinion, the grace of Christ should be manifested by those who are seeking for an understanding of the Word of God. There should be liberty given for a frank investigation of truth, that each may know for himself what is the truth. Among the pupils of the Sabbath school there should be a spirit of investigation, that those who are old enough to discern evidence may be encouraged to search for fresh rays of light, and to appreciate all that God may send to his people. The light which God will send to his people will never appear unless there is a diligent searching of the word of truth. The world is full of all manner of error of a misleading nature, and it is essential that both pupils and teachers know that they know what is truth. There is need that we reverence the Word of God and recognize His voice in the living oracles, that we may practice His precepts and live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Those that do the will of God will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, for no deception will cloud their minds. God calls everyone, both old and young, to make a diligent search in His Word, that they may discover the rich jewels of truth. Ministers and people, teachers and scholars, are all called to the work of studying the Bible. Precious light is to shine forth from the Word of God, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people in the messages of enlightenment that he shall send, and so quench the Spirit of God. Whatever may be his position of authority, no one has a right to shut away the light from the people. When a message comes in the name of the Lord to his people, no one may excuse himself from an investigation of its claims. No one can afford to stand back in an attitude of indifference and self-confidence and say, I know what is truth, I am satisfied with my position. I will set my stakes, and I will not be moved away from my position, whatever may come. I will not listen to the message of this messenger, for I know that it cannot be truth. It is from pursuing this very course that the popular churches were left in partial darkness, and that is why the messages of heaven have not reached them. Cultivating a teachable spirit. God calls upon those who hold responsible positions in Sabbath school work to put away all egotism, all self-confidence, and pride of opinion. If a message comes that you do not understand, take pains that you may hear the reasons the messenger may give, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that you may know whether or not it is sustained by the Word of God. If you believe that the positions taken have not the Word of God for their foundation, if the position you hold on the subject cannot be controverted, then produce your strong reasons, for your position will not be shaken by coming in contact with error. There is no virtue or manliness in keeping up a continual warfare in the dark, closing your eyes lest you may see, closing your ears lest you may hear, hardening your heart in ignorance and unbelief, lest you may have to humble yourself and acknowledge that you have received light on some points of truth. To hold yourselves aloof from an investigation of truth is not the way to carry out the Savior's injunction to search the Scriptures. Is it digging for hidden treasure to call the results of someone's labor a mass of rubbish and make no critical examination to see whether or not there are precious jewels of truth in the collection of thought which you condemn? Will those who have almost everything to learn keep themselves away from every meeting where there is an opportunity to investigate the messages that come to the people, simply because they imagine the views held by the teachers of the truth may be out of harmony with what they have conceived as truth? Thus it was that the Jews did in the days of Christ, and we are warned not to do as they did and be led to choose darkness rather than light, because there was in them an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. No one of those who imagine that they know it all is too old or too intelligent to learn from the humblest of the messengers of the living God. The teacher to be a learner. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Those who would become the educators of the youth and children must learn much, very much, both in precept and experience, in order that they may be successful laborers for God. They must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, attaining unto the measure of the stature of Christ. Growth in grace is a testimony to the fact that you are abiding in Christ as the branch is abiding in the vine. If you abide in Him, you will have power to discern spiritual truth, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. God calls upon the young men and young women to make the most of their entrusted ability. He would have you cultivate habits of industry, habits of study, that you may improve the talents He has given you. God will accept your service and the improvement of your talents, but He cannot look with approval upon half-hearted, halfway work. Every branch of God's work calls for the exercise of the highest ability. It demands that you shall bring into requisition every available help, that you shall direct your noblest impulses to the propagation of the truth. The exalted, sacred character of the work requires the enlistment of the highest intellectual and spiritual powers, that it may be properly represented before those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. If you are called to be a teacher in any branch of the work of God, you are called also to be a learner in the school of Christ. If you take upon you the sacred responsibility of teaching others, you take upon you the duty of going to the bottom of every subject you seek to teach. If you present a subject from the Word of God to your pupils in the Sabbath school, you should make the reasons for your faith so plain that your scholars shall be convinced of its truth. You should diligently search and compare the evidences of the Word of God on messages that He sends to the church, that you may know what is truth and be able to direct those who look to you into the way of righteousness. To listen with candor. When asked to hear the reasons of a doctrine that you do not understand, do not condemn the message until you have given it thorough investigation and know from the Word of God that it is not tenable. If I had an opportunity, I would speak to the students of every Sabbath school in the land, lifting up my voice in earnest appeal, that they go to the Word of God, seeking for truth and light. God has precious light to come to His people at this very time, and you should strive earnestly in your investigations to aim at nothing less than a thorough knowledge of every point of truth, that you may not be found in the day of God among those who have not lived by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The momentous issues at stake through neglect of the Word of God should be carefully considered. The study of the Bible is worthy of the best mental effort, the most sanctified ability. When new light is presented to the church, it is perilous to shut yourselves away from it, refusing to hear because you are prejudiced against the message or the messenger will not make your case excusable before God. To condemn that which you have not heard and do not understand will not exalt your wisdom in the eyes of those who are candid in their investigation of truth. and to speak with contempt of those whom God has sent with a message of truth is folly and madness. If our youth are seeking to educate themselves to be workers in His cause, they should learn the way of the Lord and live by every word that proceedeth out of His mouth. They are not to make up their minds that the whole truth has been unfolded and that the Infinite One has no more light for His people. If they entrench themselves in the belief that the whole truth has been revealed, they will be in danger of discarding precious jewels of truth that shall be discovered as men turn their attention to the searching of the rich mine of God's Word. Individually investigate. Those who have entered upon the work of teaching or who have been called to any position of responsibility should not be satisfied to take the product of the researches of other minds, but they should investigate truth for themselves. If they do not form the habit of investigating themes of truth for themselves, they will become superficial in their life and acquirements. The opinions of your associates may be of value to you, but you should not rely upon them and have no definite ideas of your own. You should examine the truths you have been led to believe until you know that they are without a flaw. You lose much when you do not bring every point of faith you hold to the law and to the testimony, for you do not see or appreciate the truth as it is. Oh, that all our youth might appreciate the privilege that God has given. It is His will that you should go to the source of all light and receive enlightenment of His Spirit, for this will be given to every humble seeker for truth. And then you will know that the Spirit and the Word agree, and know that you know what is truth, what assurance this knowledge gives. You can then speak with power, proclaiming what you have learned as truth, knowing that you have not followed cunningly devised fables. A promise of increasing light. New light will ever be revealed on the Word of God to him who is in living connection with the Son of Righteousness. Let no one come to the conclusion that there's no more truth to be revealed. The diligent, prayerful seeker for truth will find precious rays of light yet to shine forth from the Word of God. Many gems are yet scattered that are to be gathered together to become the property of the remnant people of God. But the light is not given simply to be a strength to the church, but to be shed upon those who are in darkness. The people of God are to show forth the praises of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Christ has said of His people, "Ye are the light of the world," and it is the mission of the light to shine out and illuminate the darkness. Oh, may teachers and pupils be what the Lord designed they should be when He gave His life, that they might be the sons and daughters of God and win the crown of immortal glory. New meaning in familiar text. As soon as the seeker for truth opens a Bible to read the utterances of God with reverence, possessing an earnest desire to know what saith the Lord, light and grace will be given him, and he will see wondrous things out of God's law. He will not regard the law of Jehovah as a yoke of bondage, but as the gracious commands of one who is all-wise and full of compassion. He will make haste to fulfill his requirements. Great truths which have been neglected and unappreciated for ages will be revealed by the Spirit of God, and new meaning will be flashed out of familiar texts. Every age will be illuminated by the Spirit of truth. The Bible is not sealed, but unsealed. The most precious truths are revealed. The living oracles are heard by wondering ears, and the consciences of men are aroused into action. Drifting from Bible landmarks. Many know so little about their Bibles that they are unsettled in the faith. They remove the old landmarks and fallacies and winds of doctrine, blow them hither and thither. Science, falsely so called, is wearing away the foundation of Christian principle, and those who were once in the faith drift away from the Bible landmarks and divorce themselves from God while still claiming to be His children. The youth fortified against heresies. The Bible lessons which are taught in our schools are of far greater consequence than many now discern. These children will have to meet in the near future the heresies and fables that abound in the Christian world. Instruct the youth with simplicity but great thoroughness. Our work must stand the test of the judgment. The youth in this age must be fitted by the grace of Christ to meet and overcome evils which have been introduced into society. They will have opportunities to use all the knowledge and influence that they have acquired and will need wisdom from above to stem the current of evil which surrounds them. The supporters of error and of unscriptural doctrines are numerous. The world at large is leading them to forget God and to despise His claims. The law of God is trampled beneath unholy feet. Every youth is responsible to God for his opportunities and for the precious light shining upon him from the Scriptures. A barrier against temptation. There should be a living, growing interest in storing the mind with Bible truth. The precious knowledge thus gained will build a barrier about the soul. Although assailed with temptation, there will be a firm trust in Jesus through the knowledge of Him who hath called them to glory and to virtue. Divine aid in the search for truth. Point after point of truth should be investigated, but there is no limitation to the truth of God, and its study and most lively interest should be felt by both teachers and pupils, that they may know what God has said. For years, the voice of God has been saying to us, agitate, agitate, agitate. Study every point of truth, that you may know for yourselves what is truth in distinction from error. Let students search for themselves, that they may know the deep things of God. Let this work be done in the Spirit of Christ. Put no restrictions upon the students. In searching the Scriptures, there is need of great humility of mind and contrition of heart, of seeking earnestly unto God. Those who come in a lowly spirit seeking for truth will be aided in their search by the angels of God. Half-hearted service. Many who profess to be Christians do no more than half believe the Word of God. They do not study it earnestly, but waste precious time in reading novels and storybooks. A mere intellectual understanding of the Word of God will not be sufficient to influence the habits of the life, for the life is regulated by the condition of the heart. When Sabbath school teachers have taught the lessons of the external revelation, their work is but just begun, and they should not cease their labor until they have evidence that the precepts of heaven are not only accepted by the understanding of the pupil, but written upon the heart. Prayerful study. We should exert all the powers of the mind in the study of the Scriptures and should ask the understanding to comprehend as far as mortals can the deep things of God. Yet we must not forget that the docility and submission of a child is the true spirit of the learner. Scriptural difficulties can never be mastered by the same methods that are employed in grappling with philosophical problems. We should not engage in the study of the Bible with that self-reliance with which so many enter the domains of science, but with a prayerful dependence upon God and a sincere desire to learn His will. We must come with a humble and teachable spirit to obtain knowledge from the great I Am. Otherwise, evil angels will so blind our minds and harden our hearts that we shall not be impressed by the truth. Many a portion of Scripture which learned men pronounce a mystery or pass over as unimportant is full of comfort and instruction to him who has been taught in the school of Christ. One reason why many theologians have no clearer understanding of God's Word is they close their eyes to truths which they do not wish to practice. An understanding of Bible truth depends not so much on the power of intellect brought to the search as on the singleness of purpose, the earnest longing after righteousness. The Bible should never be studied without prayer. The Holy Spirit alone can cause us to feel the importance of those things easy to be understood, or prevent us from wresting truths difficult of comprehension. It is the office of heavenly angels to prepare the heart so to comprehend God's Word that we shall be charmed with its beauty, admonished by its warnings, or animated and strengthened by its promises. We should make the psalmist's petition our own, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Temptations often appear irresistible because, through neglect of prayer and the study of the Bible, the tempted one cannot readily remember God's promises and meet Satan with the Scripture weapons. But angels are round about those who are willing to be taught in divine things, and in the time of great necessity they will bring to their remembrance the very truths which are needed. God's manner of imparting knowledge. Day by day, Jesus gained knowledge from the great library of animate and inanimate nature. He who had created all things, at whose word of power hill and vale, river and tree had come into being, was now a child of humanity, and he studied the lessons which his own hand had written in leaf and flower and tree. The parables by which, during his ministry, Jesus loved to teach his lessons of truth show how open his spirit was to the sweet influence of nature, and how during those hidden years he delighted to gather the spiritual teachings from all the surroundings of daily life. To Jesus, the significance of the Word and the works of God unfolded gradually as he was thinking, seeking to understand the reason of things as any youth may seek to understand. Every child may gain knowledge, as Jesus did, from the works of nature and the pages of God's holy Word. As we try to become acquainted with our Heavenly Father through his holy Word, angels will come near, our minds will be strengthened, our character will be elevated and refined, and we shall become more like our Savior. As we behold the beauty and grandeur of the works of nature, our affections go out after God, while the heart is awed and the spirit subdued. The soul is invigorated by coming in contact with the infinite through his marvelous works. Communion with God through humble prayer develops and strengthens the mental and moral faculties, and spiritual powers increase by cultivating thoughts upon spiritual things. Those who consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God, purifying their thoughts by obedience to the law of God, will continually receive a new endowment of physical and mental power. There will be heart yearnings after God and earnest prayer for clear perception to discern the office and work of the Holy Spirit. It is not for us to use it, but for the Holy Spirit to use us, molding, fashioning every power. How to prepare for future trials. The servants of Christ are to prepare no set speech to present when brought to trial for their faith. Their preparation is to be made day by day in treasuring up in their hearts the precious truths of God's Word, in feeding upon the teaching of Christ, and through prayer strengthening their faith, that when brought into trial, the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance the very truths that will reach the hearts of those who shall come to hear. God will flash the knowledge obtained by diligent searching of the Scriptures into their memory at the very time when it is needed. But if they neglect to fill their minds with the gems of truth, if they do not acquaint themselves with the words of Christ, if they have never tasted the power of his grace in trial, then they can't expect that the Holy Spirit will bring his words to their remembrance. They are to serve God daily with their undivided affections and then trust him. Daily Bible study. The Sabbath school affords to parents and children a precious opportunity for the study of God's Word. But in order to gain that benefit which they should gain in the Sabbath school, both parents and children should devote time to the study of the lessons, seeking to obtain a thorough knowledge of the facts presented and also of the spiritual truths which these facts are designed to teach. We should especially impress upon the minds of the young the importance of seeking the full significance of the Scripture under consideration. Parents, set apart a little time each day for the study of the Sabbath school lesson with your children. Give up the social visit if need be, rather than sacrifice the hour devoted to the precious lessons of sacred history. Parents as well as children will receive benefit from this study. Let the more important passage of Scriptures connected with the lesson be committed to memory, not as a task, but as a privilege. Though at first the memory may be defective, it will gain strength by exercise, so that after a time you will delight thus to treasure up the precious truths of words of truth. And the habit will prove a most valuable aid to religious growth. If the time that is worse than wasted in gossip, in ministering to pride, or for the gratification of appetite were devoted with equal interest to the study of the Bible, what encouragement would be given to our Sabbath schools? But when parents are more anxious to have their children fashionably dressed than to have their minds stored with the truths of God's Word, the children themselves will soon learn to regard dress and display as of more consequence than the things which concern their salvation. Observe system in the study of the Scriptures in your families. Neglect anything of a temporal nature. Dispense with all unnecessary sewing and with needless provision for the table. But be sure that the soul is fed with the bread of life. It is impossible to estimate the good results of 1 hour or even half an hour each day devoted in a cheerful social manner to the Word of God. Make the Bible its own expositor, bringing together all that is said concerning a given subject at different times and under varied circumstances. Do not break up your home class for callers or visitors. If they come in during the exercise, invite them to take part in it. Let it be seen that you consider it more important to obtain a knowledge of God's Word than to secure the gains or pleasures of the world. Fixing the lesson in the memory. As a means of intellectual training, the opportunities of the Sabbath are invaluable. Let the Sabbath school lesson be learned not by a hasty glance at the lesson scripture on Sabbath morning, but by careful study for the next week on Sabbath afternoon with daily review or illustration during the week. Thus the lesson will become fixed in the memory, a treasure never to be wholly lost. Our daily spiritual food. We need to understand these words of Christ, "The flesh profiteth nothing." The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life, the Holy Word accepted and brought into the practical life. Spiritual life consists in Christ being the light and life of the soul temple, as the blood is the life of the body. All who study the Word are represented as eating the Word, feeding on Christ, even as the body necessities must be supplied daily, so the Word of God must be daily studied, eaten and digested, and practiced. Thus, this sustains the nourishment to keep the soul in health. The neglect of the Word means starvation to the soul. The Word describes the blessed man as one meditating day and night upon the truths of God's Word. We are all to feast upon the Word of God. The relation of the Word to the believer is a vital matter. Appropriating the Word to our spiritual necessities is the eating of the leaves of the tree of life that are for the healing of the nations. Study the Word and practice the Word, for it is your life. Cooperation in the home. While it is essential that wise, patient efforts should be made by the teacher, the work must not be left altogether to the Sabbath school and church worker, but it must find its foundation and support in the work of the home. Parents have a sacred responsibility and charge committed to them, and they are called upon to keep their charge, to bear their responsibility in the fear of God, watching for the souls of their children as they who must give an account. Home missionary work has been strangely neglected. Those who have had the greatest reason for earnest Christ-like solicitude for the salvation of their children have been indifferent to their responsibilities and have lightly regarded the wants of their households. The responsibility which God has given to men and women as parents, many have shifted from themselves to the Sabbath school worker and to the church influence. But each instrumentality has its work, and parents who neglect their part will be weighed in the balances and found wanting. The instruction of Christ from the pillar of cloud to the children of Israel defines the duty of parents, and it is not indefinite or hard to be understood. This instruction is for our admonition and benefit. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In every work of their hands they were to remember the commandment of the Lord. It was to be bound upon their hands, not literally, but to exert an influence over every transaction of their lives. It was to be as frontlets between their eyes. Their minds were to dwell upon the truth of God's commandments, and they were to be governed by their principles. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates. that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Teach modesty and humility, the direction given by the Son of God to Moses for the instruction of the children of Israel is just as essential now as it was then, and it should be heeded as diligently by parents today as by God's ancient people. Religion must be woven into every part of the home life if we would see the results that God has designed as the fruit of following His way. Pride, self-esteem, and boldness are marked characteristics of the children of this day, and they are the curse of the age. When I see this unchristlike, unlovely manifestation on every side, and then see parents and teachers seeking to display the ability and proficiency of their children and scholars, I am pained to the heart, for I know that it is exactly the opposite course from the one that should be pursued. Parents and teachers who gather their knowledge from the Bible, who are governed in mind and action by its holy principles, need not go astray and be found in by and forbidden paths. The most sacred lessons of modesty and humility are to be taught to the children both at home and in the Sabbath school. They are to be instructed as to the high claims of the law of God and as to their responsibility before Him. The lessons that should be presented to them should be of such a character as would qualify them for usefulness in this life and for a place in the future immortal kingdom. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. These words plainly define the duty of parents and teachers, and if they will follow this instruction, they will not fail to see the best results. Results of parents' failure. How different would have been the scriptural record of the history of Israel, a nation so highly favored of the Lord, if they had carried out the instruction given them from the pillar of cloud by the Son of the living God. But they did not diligently follow the admonitions given. They failed to teach their children the requirements of God, and the sad results are pictured before us in a nation rejected of God. They separated so far from the wisdom of God that when the great teacher Jesus, the world's Redeemer, appeared, they cried, "Away with Him!" The traditions of man were more highly revered than the commandments of God. False practices and human inventions had taken the place of the pure teaching of God. That which was to have become a part of their being was regarded as of little consequence and little worth. When Christ came into the world to exemplify true religion, and to exalt the principles that should govern the hearts and actions of men, falsehood had taken so deep a hold upon those who had had so great light that they no longer comprehended the light and had no inclination to yield up tradition for truth. They rejected the heavenly teacher. They crucified the Lord of glory that they might retain their own customs and inventions. The very same spirit is manifested in the world today. Men are averse to investigating truth lest their tradition should be disturbed and a new order of things should be brought in. There is with humanity a constant liability to err, and men are naturally inclined to highly exalt human ideas and knowledge, while the divine and eternal is not discerned or appreciated. Christ's message rejected. To those who are unprejudiced, the words of Christ were as the light from heaven. Never man spake like this man. As the great teacher presented the absorbing realities of the eternal future, the things of this perishing world were eclipsed. How eagerly did those who had been praying for light receive the truth, but the proud and self-righteous refused his message. Parents as educators. The home should be made a school of instruction rather than a place of monotonous drudgery. The evening should be cherished as precious seasons to be devoted to the instruction of the children in the way of righteousness. But how many children are sadly neglected? They are not educated in the home that they may comprehend the truth of God, and are not trained to love justice and do judgment. They should be patiently instructed that they may understand the laws that govern them, and that they may know the springs of their actions. They are to be brought into harmony with the laws of heaven, to cherish the truth as it is in Jesus. In this way, they may be fitted to join the society of the angels and to stand in the presence of the adorable Redeemer. There may be implanted in every human soul hopes and aspirations that will be of a right character, and youth may see beauty in the way of holiness. In every case, it may be necessary to employ decided measures in dealing with the young, that they may be trained, cultivated, and perfected for the highest usefulness in life. How few appreciate the value of the talents that God has bestowed upon them. How few parents and educators realize the fact that there can be a full development of mind and heart only by having a living connection with the source of all wisdom, power, and holiness. Truth is infinite, and he whose mind is enlightened and led by the Spirit of God will go from strength to strength, finding his path growing brighter and brighter under the perfect day, earthward or heavenward. But while we are capable of advancing in knowledge and truth, let us not lose sight of the fact that we can go backward as well as forward. We may go earthward as well as heavenward. There are many souls who are balancing between the heavenward and the hellward course. There are influences, subtle and deceiving, drawing souls away from God and heavenly things. It is necessary that everyone should be looked after from his earliest years to youth and maturity. Especially should those who know the danger of evil and who know the love and interest that God feels for every soul make it their business to watch for souls as they that must give an account. Parents should command their households after them, as did Abraham, to keep the way of the Lord. If this is not done, Satan will gladly undertake the work of the parent and train the child as it pleases him, and oh, how much this work is left to him. Let parents do their duty to those who are dependent upon them and fashion their characters after the divine pattern. Let parents with living faith and entire reliance upon God do the part assigned them, and God will do his part, and thousands of children who are now without God and without hope in the world will be added to the church. Burdened for the youth's conversion. When conversion of the youth shall be the great burden upon the hearts of the parents and teachers, efforts will constantly be made to discipline the character, to direct the tastes and desires in the heavenly channel. Every soul is capable of being built up in solid virtues. Each soul may reach heights, depths, and breadths of knowledge in spiritual things and be fitted for the higher life. When parents take the first steps, making their own habits and practices in eating, dressing, and living as simple and natural as possible, with an eye single to the glory of God, there will be order in the home and the children will not be neglected, but time will be devoted to their instruction and development. The children should be surrounded by the best of influences and associations. Parents who undertake this work in the fear and love of God will guard every word, that they may hear nothing that would pain them when their own conversation is repeated by the children. They will seek to supply the weakness, ignorance, and deficiency in their children by high moral instruction, that they may grow up strong in purity with well-established habits that tend to health and happiness. With such an education, they will gather up that kind of knowledge that will perfect the character in symmetry and strength. Neglect fraught with danger. If the youth are left to pick up an education, they will find that every facility will be furnished. From a variety of sources, the knowledge of evil will be brought to the mind, and perhaps in afterlife it can never be wholly effaced. When parents neglect their duty in laying the foundation of character for their children, bringing the very best principles as timbers for their character building, this neglect will be supplied by the enemy of God and man, and the youth will be indifferent to virtue and truth. The home should be made the most pleasant place in the world. What is the outward and the artificial compared with the true and the natural? The Lord has given to the children faculties that need the most careful training from both parents and teachers. Those to whom God has committed the responsibility of disciplining the youth should be in a condition to cooperate with him in developing the precious gifts of mind and heart, that they may gain that kind of knowledge that will give increasing strength and will be an acquisition that can be carried into the future immortal life. A work of the highest importance. To mold and fashion the character of children and youth is a work of the very highest importance, and in this work it is essential to present Christ in his matchless love to the mind, that his counter and stronger charms may eclipse the attractions of the world. The youth must not merely see a theory, however logical, but the loving character and glory of Christ. They must be led to behold the riches of the eternal world until they are encouraged, animated, and won. The love of Jesus must be the motive of all effort. It impels, it constrains, it captivates. Parents in the Sabbath School. The Sabbath School affords precious opportunities and privileges for the young. Parents should highly prize these advantages and show their children that they appreciate them. If they manifest no decided interest in the school themselves, they cannot expect their children to do so. In the Sabbath School, parents may be learners as well as the children. Both parents and children should seek to have a knowledge of the Scriptures. Other books should be secondary to the Word of God. Christ has said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We ought all of us to be better acquainted with the prophecies than we are, and to have a more thorough knowledge of the practical lessons of Christ. If we merely read the Scriptures uninterestedly, we cannot become intelligent in the truths therein contained. Study the lesson every day. Parents should search the Scriptures with their children. They should become familiar with the lessons themselves. Then they can assist their children in learning them. Every day some portion of time should be appropriated to the study of the lessons, not merely in learning to mechanically repeat the words while the mind does not comprehend the meaning, but to go to the very foundation and become familiar with what is brought out in the lesson. The indifference of the children in very many cases is chargeable to the parents. They are indifferent and the children catch the same spirit. If parents show that they attach importance to the Sabbath School by giving it respect and prominence, the children will generally copy their example. Teaching Sabbath observance. Parents should have a thorough understanding with their family that the sacred hours of the Sabbath are to be spent to God's glory. They should be up with the sun and have plenty of time to prepare for Sabbath School without getting into a rush and perhaps losing self-control. If the proper preparations have been made the previous day, there will be abundance of time to review this lesson studied during the week, and both parents and children can go to the school with the assurance that they have the lessons well learned. Christ's sympathy with children. Jesus was interested in children. He did not step into our world a fully matured man. Had he done this, children would not have had his example to copy. Christ was a child. He had the experience of a child. He felt the disappointments and trials that children feel. He knew the temptations of children and youth. But Christ was, in his child life and youthful life, an example to all children and youth. In childhood, his hands were engaged in useful acts. In youth, he worked at the carpenter's trade with his father and was subject to his parents, thus giving in his life a lesson to all children and young. If Christ had never been a child himself, the youth might now think that he could not sympathize with them. But he lived their example, and all children and youth can find in Jesus one to whom they can carry all their griefs and all their disappointments, and in him they will find a friend who will help them. Jesus loves little children. When the mothers brought their children to Jesus, the disciples attempted to send them away, but Jesus rebuked them and said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He then gathered them in his loving arms and blessed them. Those parents and teachers who have no love or patience with children are to be pitied, for they have not the mind of Christ. Those who are seeking to gather the children into the Sabbath School are doing a good work, the very work the Master would be pleased to have them do. The expanding minds of even small children may comprehend very much in regard to the teachings of Christ and may be taught to love him with all their ardent affections. Teachers and parents should sow beside all waters, and if faithful, they may have a harvest of souls by and by. And when they shall see the souls for whom they have labored around the great white throne, with crowns and white robes and harps of gold, they will feel then that their efforts were not lost. The well-done, good and faithful servant will fall upon their ears as sweet music. Finding time for lesson study. There are many children who plead a lack of time as the reason why their Sabbath school lessons are not learned, but there are few who could not find time to learn their lessons if they had an interest in them. Some devote time to amusement and sightseeing, others to the needless trimming of their dresses for display, thus cultivating pride and vanity. The precious hours thus prodigally spent are God's time, for which they must render an account to Him. The hours spent in needless ornamentation or in amusements and idle conversation will, with every work, be brought into judgment. Parents to help children. Parents should feel it a sacred duty to instruct their children in the statutes and requirements of God as well as in the prophecies. They should educate their children at home and should themselves be interested in the Sabbath school lessons. By studying with the children, they show that they attach importance to the truth brought out in the lessons and to help to create a taste for Bible knowledge. Let parents do their part, not only helping the children in their study, but becoming familiar with the lessons themselves. The Bible is our textbook. Parents, teachers, and scholars need to become better acquainted with the precious truths contained in both the Old and the New Testaments. More important than day school, even greater care should be taken by the parents to see that their children have their scripture lessons than is taken to see that their day school lessons are prepared. Their scripture lessons should be learned more perfectly than their lessons in the common schools. If parents and children see no necessity for this interest, then the children might better remain at home, for the Sabbath school will fail to prove a blessing to them. Parents and children should work in harmony with superintendent and teachers, thus giving evidence that they appreciate the labor put forth for them. Parents should take special interest in the religious education of their children, that they may have a more thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Diligent study richly rewarded. The close application of those Hebrew students, Daniel and his companions, under the training of God was richly rewarded. While they made diligent effort to secure knowledge, the Lord gave them heavenly wisdom. The knowledge they gained was of great service to them when brought into strait places. The Lord God of heaven will not supply the deficiencies that result from mental and spiritual indolence. When the human agents shall exercise their faculties to acquire knowledge, to become deep thinking men, when they, as the greatest witnesses for God and the truth, shall have won in the field of investigation of vital doctrines concerning the salvation of the soul, that glory may be given to God of heaven as supreme, then even judges and kings will be brought to acknowledge in the courts of justice, in parliaments and councils, that the God who made the heavens and the earth is the only true and living God, the author of Christianity, the author of all truth, who instituted the seventh-day Sabbath when the foundations of the world were laid, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy.